It is the Dry Heat Check Podcast with Jay Coe and Espo. I'm Jared Cohen. That is Greg Esposito. Episode number 4, Greg. So this episode will be named after a Phoenix Sun by the name of Michael Finley.
Before we get into the numbers, I think we're at a point where everybody knows it's a podcast now. So I think we can just call it the Dry Heat Check.
Okay, so let's start over. This is the Dry Heat Check with Jay Cohen Espo. I'm Jared Cohen. That's Greg Esposito.
See, there we go.
And today's episode, since we don't need to call it a podcast anymore, and if you know us by now, because you know it's a podcast by now, you'll know that we name the number episode that we have done after a player who wore that number in Arizona sports history at any professional team. This week, it's Michael Finley. Had a lot of great prospects out there to name this, but Michael Finley, you threw it in my way to name this one. And Michael Finley was drafted by this team, and I was a diehard fan of Michael Finley. And there's an ongoing story that my grandparents love to tell. My grandfather, rest in peace, my grandma is still with us, and she still talks about this story. Of that guy that you saw his jersey at the Just Sports in the mall and you had to have it. It's the jersey you wanted more than any jersey that you've ever had in your life. You would trade all your jerseys just to get a Michael Finley jersey. And sure enough, I got it. I put on the charm. I put on the emotional card, and my grandparents bought me a Michael Finley jersey, only for him to get traded like a year later.
Well, it's crazy. You think of Michael Finley, and it feels like he was here for such a long time, but he really wasn't. Mm-hmm. It was like a year and a half, I think, was about the length of his time here. But I do enjoy that story, but not for the fact that it was a Michael Finley jersey, for the fact that you can tell how old somebody is when they refer to what store they went in the mall to get their son's jersey when they were a kid. For me, it was the Suns team shop in the mall, because they were in the mall in the early 90s.
They did have those,
And I remember going in there, and they had everything. Like, anybody you could want, down to some of the bench guys, all on the wall. And I used to go in there as a kid and just stare at them and long for some of those jerseys. It's nice that your grandparents actually got you
one that you longed for. They did have it, and unfortunately it didn't last long because he made really his mark with the Mavericks and then the Spurs, right? But he was a lot of fun to watch when he was a Sun. He was kind of a surprise out of Wisconsin when the Suns drafted him. He kind of bursted out onto the scene. So we'll throw Michael Finley the name, the honor of being named after the fourth episode of the Dry Heat Check.
What color did you get?
Black.
Ah, the black jersey.
I always got the black. I had the black in KJ. I had the black in Finley. I think I had the black in Jason Kidd, too, back in the day.
I love those jerseys. And actually, I asked because it's shameless plug time here on the Dry Heat Check, as I have a piece on Sports360AZ.com and a mini oral history about those uniforms from the mid-90s that the Suns wore.
With
and
the sunburst?
Yeah, there's some tidbits in there that you don't know about colors and color changes that almost happened and some unique
stuff.
So I just had to do a shameless plug.
Well, go check that out. I'm actually intrigued. So some of the other Suns, some honorable mention number fours, Tom Van Arsdale, got to throw him in there. He was one of the original Suns to wear the number four, if not the original.
The lesser of the two Van Arsdale brothers, but a nice man in and of himself.
Martian Gortat.
One of my favorites. I was actually disappointed we didn't pick him, but honestly, he never wanted to wear number four. Great story for you.
He wanted to wear 11, right?
No, actually, I don't know if I can actually tell this story, but I'm going to do it anyways because I'm not beholden to anybody anymore. Martian, who I'm a big fan of, actually became kind of friendly with him when I worked for the team, but when he was here, Nash gets traded, right?
Oh, 13,
and
that's right.
He within minutes of that deal going down, texted asking if he could get the number 13.
Really?
Obviously, everybody said, hell no.
Yeah.
But he always wanted the number 13. So probably.
And he wore the number 13 in Orlando before he came to Phoenix.
Yep, and I'm pretty sure he's wearing it in Washington now.
I'm not positive.
Neither am I.
We'll have to check on that.
So yeah, probably better we didn't choose him.
Tyson Chandler currently wears the number 4. We have Alton Ford.
Who?
Yep, Steve Kerr, when he was a Sun, originally drafted by the Suns, he wore the number 4. How about Stromile Swift? He wore the number 4 briefly. And then finally, Sean Marks, I know one of your all-time favorites, wore the number 4. Cardinals, Jay Feely, again for the second week in a row because he wore the number 3 and 4.
When he scored all those points against Denver, was he in number 4? I feel like he was wearing that number 4 jersey.
How about Kevin Cobb, your boy, the guy that you really wanted to have come to the Arizona Cardinals?
Embarrassingly enough, I actually have a Kevin Cobb jersey in my closet still that I wear from time to time.
Tim Hasselbeck, Sean King, and then Chuck Levy, the former Arizona Wildcat. He got brought onto the Cardinals, and he wore the number 4. Diamondbacks, Craig Counsell was really close to naming the episode after him, one of the all-time favorite Diamondbacks. Cliff Pennington, Rusty Rile. Remember Rusty Rile?
I just remember the name. I couldn't have told you he wore number 4.
Quinton McCracken and Emilio Bonifacio, and then for the Coyotes, Zbigniew Michalek. Currently still wears the number 4. So those are your famous number 4s in the history of Arizona sports.
Let's not use that word famous that loosely. Those are your number 4s.
You don't find Sean Marks to be famous in these parts?
Only because he's now the GM of the Brooklyn Nets.
There you go. Then he's famous.
All right.
We have a lot coming up. We will talk who our Arizona sports president and VP would be in terms of we got the presidential national conventions going on. So we want to know, and we ask, who are your Arizona sports presidents and vice presidents? We'll get to that soon. What was your – Nintendo's coming back.
It is. In November.
And
it actually will have an HDMI port. You don't have to go buy an old school one and figure out how to connect those weird connections that we used to have.
You're going full nerd on us right now with that.
Oh, I am nerding out. I can't tell. There are a bunch of sports – I can't wait for this topic.
The topic is, what is your favorite sports video game that had the best Arizona team in honor of the return of Nintendo? And then, of course, as always, we'll play trade, extend, or release. And we'll have our wet, cold take of the week. That is a tweet or comment or column or basically overall take from a media member that was so wrong in regards to Arizona sports. We'll have that for you coming up. But first, topic number one, the Arizona Diamondbacks. It's been a struggle. They have one of the worst records in baseball. They have the second worst home record in baseball, only better than the Atlanta Braves, who I think lost how many games in a row to start the season. It's been a mess, and we're not going to diagnose from a like why it's going wrong or what needs like the players or whatever. We want to take more of a grand view of this, Espo. What do the Diamondbacks need to do to get out of this mess, and what is the underlying problem? Is it the roster? Is it the front office? Is it off-the-field antics? Is it on the field? And that's the biggest problem. Kind of taking a more global scope of what just isn't working out with this team, really since the 2011 season when they had that nice run into the postseason.
Well, you know, I joked about this on Twitter, but this Diamondbacks team is to the current Ghostbusters what the 2001 team was to the original Ghostbusters. It's just there's names there. It feels similar. You know, there were expectations, but it did not come together in any way that you expected. And honestly, I don't know that they can necessarily get out of this mess. There's no quick fix for this. There's no simple fix for this. I think you got to consider, maybe we just, you know, kind of get out of some of these contracts that we got into this past offseason. But you look at it, and I think the premise that this entire year was built on was false. The fact that they were one or two pieces, a step or two away from being a true contender. Last year was very much like 2011, where they looked like they may have the ability to make that jump, but they weren't. There were a lot of guys that had career years that may very well have just been flashes in the pan.
David Peralta as being one of them had 17 home runs, 78 RBIs last year. Now this year can't stay on the field.
Yeah, I mean, you look across the board, and there were a lot of instances like that. Even Paul Goldschmidt, where I love Goldie, he is a star in this league, but he had a fantastic MVP caliber season last year. He isn't having that necessarily this year to that extent. I just think the entire premise that all this was built on initially was false, and you shouldn't have gone all in this year. You should have slowly built it.
Yeah.
Added some younger pieces, figured out what the right mix is, and then maybe next year you try to go all in. You try to build on what you did last year. You don't put all this immense pressure in one foul swoop on a team like this. And on some players, Shelby Miller is a prime example of a guy who just couldn't handle the pressure, I'm pretty sure.
Now, the issue here, when the Diamondbacks seem to screw up, it seems to be amplified around the nation. You have these uniforms that come out. It seems to be amplified because it's the Diamondbacks that did it, that people are against it or for it or can't stand it. They make a trade. The story that came down this weekend was that apparently it had been reported that, I think it was by Peter Gammons, that the trade of Brad Ziegler, what the Diamondbacks got in return, other GMs went to Gammons or expressed to Gammons that the Diamondbacks were asking for a lot more than they got from the Red Sox and called it kind of a buddy-buddy deal that La Russa had. Now, that was extremely amplified by national media because it was the Diamondbacks again. You look at the Jake Lamb campaign. You look at, again, the uniforms, the food and desserts, and it seems like everything the Diamondbacks do, while it's really interesting and strategic and unique marketing that they do outside of the game of baseball, it seems like things are amplified in the national media to add more scrutiny. Then maybe it's just a local point of view, but it seems like more than any other team in baseball, and that even goes with the thing we had the last couple of years with plunking guys and Kevin Towers' approach on all that. That got amplified to the national media, and you see other teams doing it like the Pirates, and it didn't seem like it was scrutinized quite as much. And I'm trying to figure out why that is.
Well, look, there's a few factors in play here, and one of them is the fact that old-school traditionalist baseball fans and people and media didn't like the fact that the Diamondbacks came out of the gates when they entered the league in 98 and then in 99 made big plays, signed high-priced, high-dollar free agents, and by 2001, 4 years into existence, they won a title. That was not the way that you're supposed to do things in baseball, according to these traditionalists. So I think the foundation was started there. It has deep roots from to the beginning of this franchise, why people have always kind of felt that way about it. They didn't have traditional colors. They came out in purple and teal and were flashy in that way. Then they broke unspoken rules and bought their way to a championship, which to me, great. It's the one title we have. I'm glad yeah, they did it. I don't care if it almost bankrupted the team at one point. You go all in. Those things planted that seed in some of the minds of baseball traditionalists. So that's where it starts. And baseball traditionalists are always going to have a stick up their backside about some of this stuff. So it starts there. Then you add in the Tony La Russa factor. Some people don't like Tony La Russa because he was a manager, of multiple teams, the Oakland A's during the Bash Bros time. And then you have him Cardinals. With the Cardinals. He was a guy that rubbed some people the wrong way. That isn't, he's a baseball traditionalist, quote unquote, as part of it, but there are people that probably don't like Tony La Russa because he had such great success over the years. And then you add in the fact that now he's this new, chief baseball officer that most people don't have. Another innovative thing the Diamondbacks tried to do when they bring in La Russa for that position, people probably are rubbed the wrong way by that as well. You start mixing this all together and all of a sudden you go, okay, maybe there is a slight stigma towards some of what the Diamondbacks do, but really traditionalism is why some of these things happen. And honestly, I love the Diamondbacks uniform. I like the fact that they went outside of the box. Baseball's biggest problem is that people that are younger than 35 couldn't give a crap about the sport, and you got to capture the imagination of young people. You need people wearing your merchandise out there. You need to look cool because that's such a huge part of sports now. The NBA understood that for decades now. Football gets it. Look at what Oregon has done or what the NFL has done since Nike's taken over their branding. You have to have that.
Even the Coyotes did that last year, and hockey has experimented in that as well.
Yeah, and you've got to keep that in mind. And the Diamondbacks went, you know what? Let's embrace it. Let's go all in. And why not try something completely different? And I applaud him for that, because it's not easy in a sport that everybody's all steeped in tradition. And, oh, you know, the Yankees have never really changed their uniforms. Well, you know what? Not everybody is the Yankees. There's very few organizations like the Yankees, the Red Sox, that are so ingrained in tradition that changing things is kind of an affront. The Diamondbacks have been around for a blip on the radar in the history of baseball. Why not try to be edgy?
And innovators, yeah.
I actually just got the black hat with the diamond red pattern on it. I love it. I think it's fantastic looking. Those kind of things I'm all for. And you brought up marketing too. Look, I've been there. I worked in, you know, in digital and part of a marketing team as well for the Suns in lean years. And the fact is, even when the team's bad on the court or the field, you still have to try to be innovative and interesting, because it doesn't matter. Your fan, you still have to try to drive people to your ballpark, to your arena, regardless of what the team looks like. And I like the fact that the Diamondbacks are willing to go all in on having fun. If that's your brand and you want to be fan-friendly and family-friendly and you want to build a culture of, hey, we're fun, we've got the backs of our players, you know, I'm all for. Try to be goofy with the Jake Lamb final vote.
Absolutely.
Catch attention, because you know what? He's not getting in by the way the team played on the field, and that's what most people connected with it. So go out there and try something interesting. These crazy food things, sure, you're probably killing your fan base with as many calories as you're trying to have. You're slowly killing their spirit by what you're doing on the field and killing their body by what you're feeding them off of it, but it gets attention. It gets people in the ballpark, and you know what? I hear a 3,000-calorie baseball helmet, I'm going, that's the dream I had as a child. Remember, we used to get those tiny baseball helmets at Baskin Robbins, and you get one scoop? Well, now this is the adult size version, the thing that I would have loved to have just smashed my face into as a child. They made a reality. I'm all for that. You've got to find creative ways to keep yourself relevant even when you're bad. And you know what? If they won 110 games this year, everybody would be saying they're geniuses. This is all brilliant and amazing. So why would you stop doing it just when you're bad? I never understood that. I faced that in my previous career. And whether you're good or bad, your strategy should always remain the same in terms of your marketing, your promotion, your social media. You should always be out there trying to connect with your fan base one way or another.
Couldn't agree more, and I'm not even going to respond, because that was extremely well said.
Thank you. And I
couldn't agree more. So with that said, Espo drops his mic for a few seconds, and then he's going to pick it back up. And now let's shift gears here. Now, the Republican National Convention is going on. The Democratic National Convention is going to be coming up here real soon. So getting into the political realm, which I don't think either of us really want to.
No.
So we are going to talk, who would be your current Arizona sports president and vice president. Since I'll give you a breather to pick up your microphone after giving that sweet dry heat check right there, I'm going Bruce Arians and Steve Keim for president and vice president.
I like it. If we're going to nominate somebody, I can see that, because they've helped turn the Cardinals around and lead that franchise into a bright future. And right now we need that.
And they have backed up what they've said they wanted to do. They have had an approach, and they have had strategies, and they have had platforms, you know, to get all political on you. And they have executed. The only thing they haven't done is win a Super Bowl, but they've gone pretty darn close. And to take a team like the Arizona Cardinals, which has really for the most part been a laughingstock since they moved to Arizona, minus a couple years, they have been part of completely changing the perception of this team nationally. From a league-wide point of view, where they're not no longer the joke of the league, or a team that they say, oh, that's cute, they might have a good season, but there's no staying power here. They have totally changed that perception with what they've done as a tandem, and I don't think there's a better tandem in town, both currently and really in the past, that I could think of that has done a better job of totally changing the perception and taking a job, taking a role, and moving it in direction and having the results back them up.
Look, I like that pick, and actually one of your people is on my ticket. But what we've learned from this political cycle, this presidential campaign, the primaries, everything, is it's all about flash and it's all about big boasting, and you don't have to actually have facts involved in anything. You can just say anything.
Just say it.
Hey, sketchy legal background? Doesn't matter right now. Anybody and everybody is open for this. So I'm going with the ticket in 2016 of Barkley Arians. I want Barkley as my main guy and Bruce Arians as his right-hand man there, because these are two of the biggest personalities we've ever had in Arizona sports. Could you imagine those campaign ads? I can see it now. I would just love to see that. And Barkley just running on the platform of, I'm not a role model. I'm just going to tell you how we get things done here, whether you like it or not. We're going to fix Arizona sports. And then Bruce Arians, Uncle Brucey with the hat. It's just the perfect pairing for this political climate. I can picture the posters. I can picture the political ads. I want a Barkley Arians 2016 ticket. Let's make this happen, Phoenix.
Now, one thing that I was really hard for me to do is to put anyone other than Jerry Colangelo on this list. Because I don't know who would be his running mate. You know, you'd pick someone out. You pick someone from two different eras in sports. So maybe I could put Michael Bidwell and Jerry Colangelo on the team together.
I
don't know how they would gel. They'd both want to be the president. But the way I look at it is Jerry Colangelo, you know, I could see it now. Have the Barack Obama like sketch comic looking photo, but with Colangelo, and it just says The Godfather.
Or
you know?
Hope. You could stick or with Hope.
Yeah, you stick with Hope.
I think you would have to go with Brian as the VP, though, because Brian, it just seems like everywhere Jerry goes,
Brian
winds up second in command.
And he still gets it done. There's something. It's hard to leave the Godfather of Arizona sports off this thing. You can't deny what he accomplished while he was out there. I mean, he built downtown Phoenix, for crying out loud.
But look, there's term limits, and we all know he was basically the president of Arizona sports for what amounted to four decades.
And we're talking 2016 now.
Yeah, we're looking right now. If you got to put together a ticket, who wouldn't want to go to an Arizona sports convention where the Wednesday night, the second most important speech is given by Bruce Arians, and then Thursday night, the main platform is Charles Barkley laying out his vision for how to get our heads out of our backsides and fix Arizona sports. It would be an amazingly entertaining time. Now,
extremely.
I don't know if they'd actually get anything done.
Maybe not.
I don't know, but it would be very entertaining. I can't think of a better ticket in the political world we're living in. If we're gonna extrapolate that into this fictional Arizona sports ticket, I'm going with that. That there is no way you can convince me otherwise.
And you know, I love Charles Barkley, but you just said you don't know if they'll get anything done. So I get rid of Charles Barkley. I keep Arians. I add Kime. Kime gets stuff done. Seen.
Nobody cares right now about things getting done. Everybody just cares about flashiness.
You're right. But if people care about wanting to get stuff done, you know, they're looking at this political scene and it's becoming a, you know, a popularity deal and who says the most ridiculous thing.
But
people at the end of the day want to get stuff done, want to be excited about the future, where the country stands with their kids. And I would be very excited about where the country would be standing if Bruce Arians and Steve Keim are the president and the vice president.
Look, if this were a normal election cycle, Larry Fitzgerald, Steve Nash ticket would be
because
they want to take care of the community. They want to, they've been loyal to the community.
They give back.
That would be your normal
thing.
And
what is the Shane Doan?
Okay, so I cheated here. We went to the @dryheatcheck handle on Twitter, and we threw out a poll. I didn't want to give away the good stuff that we were going to go with. So I put, you know, I asked which Arizona sports duo would you nominate to be president and vice president of Arizona sports. The nominees were Booker and Bender from the Phoenix Suns, Fitz and Palmer from the Cardinals, Doan and Domi from the Coyotes.
That's a fun one to say.
It'd be fun
Doan
marketing.
And Domi.
It'd be fun marketing. Fitz and Palmer, not surprisingly, they ran away with it. Had 59% of the 114 votes that were cast. The poll's still open if you're listening to this now. Booker and Bender, 27%, and pulling up the rear. Doan and Domi and other were tied at 7%.
And did anyone have any responses Anyone come up with their own with the other on Twitter?
A couple suggestions for Goldschmidt and Lamb, which isn't bad.
That's a good one.
Maybe more justified
than Booker and Bender.
But probably not enough personality, which is what I thought about.
Like, yes.
Goldie, nice guy. Lamb, pretty nice guy. Kind of low key. I thought
both
Booker, Bender. Booker is the quintessential politician. Can glad hands, got the good looks, can talk his way out of anything. That's why I put him there. And then you have the new kid on the block that I threw in there. I didn't think it'd be fair if you put Eric Bledsoe on the ticket with that physique. He'd just scare the rest of the people that he was running against. So that's what we're looking at. But I don't think anybody beats Barkley Arians.
Let's keep moving forward here. Nintendo, to honor the return of Nintendo, coming in November.
I can't wait.
Your favorite sports video game that had the best Arizona team.
Yeah, look, I was looking at the list, and there are some sports games that are coming back preloaded on this Nintendo, and I wasn't satisfied because not a lot of them had great Arizona teams. So that's why I pitched this one to you, and I'm glad we're doing it. For me, the answer is simple but obscure, which is like a lot of the things I talk about about.
If we could define Espo on Urban Dictionary, I'm pretty sure it would say simple but obscure.
I think some people would have more choice words to describe me, but we'll go with simple and obscure. For me, it's NBA Showdown 94 for Super Nintendo. Only Super Nintendo, not the Sega Genesis thing. And there's a simple rationale for this.
Okay.
It is the only game that the complete 92-93 Phoenix Suns show up on. A team that was built basically for the video game era, with the way that they spread the floor, the athleticism, the superstar and Charles Barkley. They are an ultimate video game team. They've only shown up in one video game ever. It's NBA Showdown 94 for Super Nintendo. Barkley pulled himself out of licensing with the NBA Players Association, so he couldn't appear in any video games after that point. The only games he's shown up in since are Barkley Shut Up and Jam 1 and 2, because he owned the rights to that game, and then he showed up with the Dream Team in a special edition of NBA 2K, I believe that was in 2012, to honor their 20th anniversary. Those are the two games that Barkley.
He was an NBA Jam, right?
He was an NBA Jam, but that was previous.
That was previous to that,
and it didn't have a full roster because there was only three guys on those options. So I think you got to go with that. It's the quintessential team that defines at least my era of Arizona sports. And that's the one video game they show up in. So
okay.
I'm going with that.
That's a good one. I'm going to go a little bit more recent, but I love your history lesson
on that.
That's really interesting stuff. I have a couple honorable mentions, but the one I'm going to roll with, and I'm going to give a shout out to my old roommates in college. What we used to do is there was four of us that lived in the house. We would take a division in football in Madden and do a four-team franchise. So you've been able to go nerd, full nerd. I'm going to go full nerd right now. We did the NFC West once, and I was the Cardinals. Madden 2008 had the team that went to the Super Bowl the year prior. It had Kurt. It had Fitz. Darnell Dockett was a beast in Madden. He was like a 98 rating. You had Carlos Dansby, who was really good. DRC and Antrell Roll. That was a really good, fun team to play with. And then when you're in Madden franchise mode, you could build around those guys. So you can add some fun players to it. But I found that the my favorite sports team to play with was that 2008 Madden team with the Arizona Cardinals. NBA Jam was a lot of fun. Playing with Dan Marley, he could shoot from anywhere, and you'd hit three shots in a row, and you're on fire. And just next thing you know, the game's over because Dan Marley would do that. And then MLB 2K
back in
the day, Randy Johnson was a lot of fun to pitch with when he was in his prime for the Diamondbacks on MLB 2K. That was for combination of Dreamcast and then Xbox. So
Dreamcast, rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Your NBA Jam call is good because I had a move with Barkley that was almost unstoppable. You'd kind of run to the corner three-point line and quickly
baseline leader
back step and
baseline.
He'd always can those three-pointers, but my honorable mention, probably Tecmo Super Bowl, because it was the first time, or Tecmo Bowl, excuse me, was the first time you got to play with an NFL team from Arizona. The Phoenix Cardinals were in that game.
And who was on that team?
Ron Wolfley was on that team.
Was he on it?
Yeah, you could play as Ron Wolfley in that game. I've actually given him a hard time about that in the past, taken a screenshot and joked with him about
it. So who was it? Was it Wolfley, probably Neil Lomax?
I think Lomax was
Stump,
on there.
Stump Mitchell? Stump,
you're testing me. I don't feel like Stump Mitchell was on that roster. But to me, just being able to play with a team from Arizona in a game that you wouldn't have previously, much like I think it was NHL 97 was the same way the first time you got to play with the Coyotes. There's something special about that because you finally had a hometown team.
That reminds me, Wayne Gretzky's 3D Hockey 98 playing with Roenick, Tkachuk, Dallas Drake, Tempo Neumannin, and Nikolai Hobby-Bolin.
That's kind of an underrated game because wasn't that very much like
that game?
Wasn't that the one that was very much like NBA Jam where you could play It was 3-on-3 with the goalie.
It was basically 3-on-3 with the goalie. I think you could play 5-on-5.
Could you?
But with Tkachuk, Roenick, and Dally Drake, like, man. I think Shane Doan was an option on that team, too. I got to throw Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey in there because that was fun.
Only good thing Wayne Gretzky did involving the Coyotes ever. Let's keep that in mind. But I think those early Coyotes teams were the forgotten kind of fun teams to play with in sports games because they were loaded with talent.
Loaded.
Well, it didn't manifest itself on the ice in real life. In video game land, you could actually have a pretty successful run with that group with Roenick, Tkachuk, and Hobby-Bolin in it.
That's Greg Esposito. I'm Jared Cohen. This is the Dry Heat Check, episode Michael Finley. We do this each and every week, the next two elements we have on the show. We're going to play a game. It's called Trade, Extend, or Release. The game works by giving you three players, and this week it's Arizona players who are athletes who are key pieces to their teams but coming off significant injuries. And I ask the question, would you trade, extend, or release out of these three? The three I give you, Espo, Eric Bledsoe, A.J. Pollock, Tyrann Mathieu.
First, I'm going to say this. I'm slightly biased.
I know you're.
So
Bledsoe is your boy.
Bledsoe is my boy, so that may skew this. Who am I going to trade? I'm going to trade A.J. Pollock. I just, at this point, we talked about the Diamondbacks. If you can get value for anybody, I say you do it because you got to figure out a way to rebuild. I trade A.J. Pollock.
I agree. I trade A.J. Pollock. You're in a position where you need to add a lot of pieces, especially young prospects. I think A.J. Pollock would bring in a boatload of talent, even though he is a young talent and a key piece going forward. It'd be hard to trade him, but I feel like out of those three, that's the guy you trade because the Diamondbacks just need so much.
Now, who do you extend?
Tyrann Mathieu. And I know a big topic this offseason of getting him his next contract. His rookie contract is almost up. It might cost you a lot of money against the cap based on the level of player he is and what category fits into, whether he's a safety or a defensive back. He mentioned that he wants to be paid like a top defender because he's so versatile. I look at Tyrann Mathieu like I look at, you know, a Paul Goldschmidt, where it's hard to trade a guy like that because he means so much to your franchise outside of the kind of value that he possesses on the field. And Tyrann Mathieu has become one of the faces of this team and one of the most popular players in the NFL. So I extend him because he brings an element that you just can't find. You can't teach in football. And he would be the type of piece that I'd like to build around in the future.
All right. I'm going to extend Eric Bledsoe, and there is some rationale. It's not simply because I'm a homer and I know the guy personally. It comes down to this. The Suns training staff has proven that they can rehab anybody's injury and bring them back as good, if not better, than they were previously. You can go talk to any of the guys who have come through here that have had a history of injury problems. I mean, hell, they got Jermaine O'Neal paid pretty good. So I would say that just knowing the fact that they have that track record, you know Eric Bledsoe's going to be able to come back just as good, if not better, than he has. And he's showing the dedication. I think he's right on the cusp of being an all-star. He was there last year. I think he would have been one of those last guys brought in last year on the all-star squad.
He was playing really well when the season started.
So I think he has a lot of potential. You mix in the fact that the Suns don't have a star. He's a guy that could be there. And you look at the Suns training staff. plus my bias, I'm gonna extend Eric Bledsoe.
I'm gonna release Eric Bledsoe, not to diss on your friend here, or not to say I don't like the guy, because I was with Ryan McDonough yesterday at Leandro Barbosa's press conference. I talked to McDonough, and he's one of Bledsoe's continues to be one of the first people that is mentioned. He went to Vegas. He's been around the team. He took everyone out to California to do yoga and all that fun stuff. It's hard to release that guy. However, if you look at the landscape of this team, the Suns, you already have Knight, you already have Booker, you already have now Tyler Ulis that people are pretty excited about. If there was ever a team that could part with a player at that position, it's the Suns. So out of these three, I release Eric Bledsoe because I still have guards that could fill in that role, and it's not too much of a loss.
Well, look, there's one simple reason I release Tyrann Mathieu. It's the fact that
I can't wait to hear this.
It's the fact that the Honey Badger don't give a shit. All right? I did not say the full word. Go back and listen to the tape. I stopped. There was no T on that.
Oh,
all right?
Okay.
So
he doesn't give a she.
Yeah, he doesn't. And if he gets cut, so what? I'm going to move on to the next one. So there's not going to be hurt feelings there. Plus, honestly, football is such a tough sport to have continuous injuries. You put so much wear and tear on your body.
He has torn two ACLs now.
And last time, non-contact injuries, we got to relive an all or nothing, unfortunately.
Yep.
I just, at some point, you have to wonder, would that be something that's a chronic issue? And I realize Eric Bledsoe, similar injuries with his MCLs, similar issues, but I trust the Suns training staff. I got to see, can the Cardinals training staff keep Tyrann Mathieu at that top level? It's different than a quarterback like Carson Palmer, who, you know, 3, 5, 7 step drop. That's the amount of athleticism he has to do with his legs. Tyrann Mathieu's entire career is predicated on the health of those legs.
No question about it. I still don't release him like you would, but I get what you're saying there. The knee injuries are significant. And hey, that's why we brought it up. All three of these guys are coming off really significant injuries. I mean, breaking your elbow, if you're AJ Pollock, you're swinging, you're throwing, that could be something that can mess with you for a long time.
And let's be honest, the point of the game isn't for this to be easy. You give three guys that you wouldn't want to do except extend. So that's the difficulty of it, mm-hmm. much like other games on the internet that follow that.
So we want to know what you have to say. Follow us at Dry Heat Check on Twitter. We want to know, would you trade, extend, or release any of these three players, these key pieces to the local franchises that are coming off significant injuries? Eric Bledsoe, AJ Pollock, Tyrann Mathieu. We'll read the best ones online next week for episode 5 to be announced, who that episode will be named after. And now let's go into one of my favorite parts of the show each and every week. It is our wet cold take of the week. It's where we find local angles and or predictions or takes or columns. You have it, mostly tweets from media members that were so unbelievably wrong that it just gives you a wet cold sensation, the opposite of dry heat checks. Ours goes to our first national and non-basically Sports 360 AZ umbrella. We've bashed on you. We've bashed on me. We've bashed on Brad.
We're putting our foot in the pool.
We're going to dabble outside the family, as you prefaced last week. Kirk Herbstreit on August 27th, 2015, picked Arizona State in his preseason college football playoff Final Four.
On Twitter, and made it very apparent that he believed in this team. Kind of missed
one. If they hadn't knocked off U of A at the end of the season, they almost didn't even make a bowl game. So
since we're both U of A guys. I don't want to bash too much, but
we'll be straight. We'll go after U of A too at times. But
sometimes that's easy too. So,
yes.
Yeah, but that was a particularly cold, wet take there.
So congrats to Kirk Herbstreit, who is a guy I'm a big fan of, by the way. I think he's great, but that tweet was pretty off.
That's the fun of this, though. Most of these people that we will do this to,
I'm a fan of
fans,
yours. You know, I won't always admit it to your face, but I'm a fan of yours. But nothing made me happier than that horrific tweet that you sent out that we spotlighted in the Devin Booker episode.
I tolerate you and Brad, so that works too. But most of these people we actually like, so we're just giving them a hard time. So that's the fun in this, because we all have these. Everybody says something stupid along the way, and we're just rehashing it a little bit. I want to remind fans, we are on iTunes, Google Play. You can find us there. We're actually going to be on audioboom.com soon, too.
Wow.
I forgot to tell you about that.
I didn't even know about that.
We'll talk about that one a little later. But, yeah, so great platforms you can find us. Show's free. You don't have to pay a dime for this thing. All we ask, give us a review on those platforms. It actually really helps for new fans in Arizona sports and beyond to discover the show. Also helps us kind of validate why we're doing this to our higher-ups.
Or if we're doing it right.
Yeah. So please go to Google Play, iTunes, and Audio Boom. Search Dry Heat Check. Find us there. Listen to the show. Subscribe to it. Review it. We'd love to hear from you. Maybe we'll even read some of the reviews on one of the episodes when somebody actually finally reviews us on iTunes.
And please review it so Espo can sleep at night.
Hell, give us 5 stars,
but
bash
us. He needs to sleep now.
It's
He's
fine.
Got a baby coming in just weeks. He's not going to be
months.
Sleeping at all.
Don't expedite this time frame.
Okay, months.
I don't need any more stress than I currently have. You
I
think
can
I yell
see
a lot pull, now?
You have a vein popping out right now. I can see.
You think I yell a lot now on this show? Just wait until I have absolutely no sleep and a newborn child.
No control over your life anymore. I look forward to seeing Daddy Espo here coming up here in the near future. And we want to know your thoughts on all these topics on Twitter. As always, we want to know your favorite Arizona sports team to play with on a video game, and we, as an honor to Nintendo coming back, trade, extend, release, find us some wet cold takes, and who you would elect as your Arizona sports president and vice president. Again, we will read some of your best responses on next week's episode. That is Greg Esposito. I'm Jared Cohen. This has been the Dry Heat Check. Not going to say podcast.
You just did.
It's the Dry Heat Check with
the
Jay
podcast is silent, much like the M in Tim or the C in Tim
Rosenbaum.
I guess technically one of those M's is probably silent too,
because he didn't go by Tim.
No, it was Tim.
It was just Tim.
That's a callback joke. If you didn't listen to episode number 3,
go check that out. Yep, go check that out. Again, that's Greg. I'm Jared. This has been the Dry Heat Check on Sports360AZ.com.